It's the Popmatic Podcast for June 11th, 2014. We're going to taste the rainbow. This is the Popmatic Podcast, where you can rock out with your library card out. This weekend is Nashville Pride Festival. So we're going to talk about the best books, movies, and music by LGBTQ folks. I'm Brian, and joining me today are...
Bill.
Greg.
Amanda.
Crystal.
Hey, team. What does LGBTQ stand for?
Library.
Keep going. Guess again.
I was in on library. I like that one.
One more. It stands for lesbian, gay, bi, transgender, and queer. So what does Pride do? Pride celebrates gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender, and queer people and culture throughout Middle Tennessee. So Nashville Pride Festival and concert proper is this Friday and Saturday, June 13th and 14th. There's going to be musical performances by a whole bunch of people, but in particular, Mary Lambert, J.D. Sampson, No, Lisa Loeb.
Woo!
Pony Chase, Kyle Rothfeld, The Harmelays, and Steph Mahan, and many others. So if you're performing at Pride this week or on the weekend, please don't be mad at me if I didn't say your name. And Pride is moving this year. You know where it normally is? It doesn't matter. Don't even say. But this year it's going to be at Public Square Park. Do you know where Public Square Park is?
It's in the public square.
The courthouse.
Yes. Public Square Park, also known as the courthouse. It's the big courthouse. It's the
courthouse lawn.
Yes, it's the lawn of the courthouse. The main stage is actually going to be the steps of the courthouse. Has anyone been to Pride before?
Well, no.
So, I've been to Pride many times.
I've been one time.
I've been to Pride many times. I usually go if I'm in town the weekend that it is, and it's like just a big street fair. There's people selling stuff. This year, the Nashville Public Library will have a booth there. I think the goal is just to sign people up for library cards, though.
And they could do some challenge.
I think going to Pride would totally would count for Summer Challenge.
100 points, probably.
Yeah.
Yes.
Off the top of my head.
Absolutely. And also, I just got to put this in here. It shouldn't be confused with Nashville Pride, the local newspaper that covers African-American culture and news that was founded in 1988. And they actually have the same name. They spell it the same way. Like, they spell Pride in all caps. And recently, Cass Teague, a friend of the library, just wrote an article in the newspaper Nashville Pride about Linda, the manager at the East Spring. Maybe I'll link to that. But that's not the Nashville Pride we're talking about today. Is there room for two Nashville Prides in Nashville?
We got plenty of pride in Nashville.
All right. Mm-hmm. Totally.
Okay, so I wanted to talk about a book that I picked up somewhat randomly off the new fiction shelves at the library. It's called For Today I Am a Boy, by debut author Kim Fu. I picked it up for two reasons. One is that the author has a Chinese surname, and I'm a Sinophile, which I realize is a weird thing to say on the 25th anniversary of Tiananmen, but we'll move on. And the other reason is that I recognize the title of the book from a song by a little band called Anthony and the Johnsons. And sure enough, I opened the book to the acknowledgement section, and there were the printed lyrics to that very song. So if you've never heard of Anthony before, we should probably play a little clip just so you can hear his voice, because there's really nothing else like it. So have a listen. This is the song, Today, For Today I Am a Boy.
One day I'll grow up, I'll be a beautiful woman. One day I'll grow up, I'll be a beautiful girl. One day I'll grow up, I'll be a beautiful woman. One day I'll grow up, I'll be a beautiful girl. But for today, I am a child. For today, I am a boy.
So that song's become something of an anthem for the trans community, or so I'm told. So I suppose it was a natural fit for a book about a young trans boy. I encourage you to check out more records by Anthony. The track appears on an album called I Am a Bird Now, which we have on CD at the library. And most of Anthony's catalog is also available on Hoopla. Also check out the Leonard Cohen tribute DVD, I'm Your Man. It's a pretty amazing performance by Anthony on there as well. But the book follows Peter Huang, who is born to a Chinese immigrant set of parents in the small town of Ontario, Canada. The father is a typical Chinese father who has one goal in life, and that's to have a son. So, of course, they have daughter after daughter after daughter, to the point where the father begins to think he's cursed. And then finally, they have a son, or so he thinks. Peter is taught how to shave at 6, and his prized apron is burnt when he's in his teens. He's been doing all the cooking for the family. But we learn that he's not the only one with identity issues. His father is trying his best to deny his Chinese heritage, and his only friend is the runt of the football team, who's desperately wants another body, so they spend a lot of time in the gym together. So out of school, he flees to Montreal in pursuit of freedom through the one area in his life where he asserts his femininity, the culinary arts, but he finds an industry dominated by men, as well as some of the most flagrant chauvinism you can still find in the workplace. So this book isn't for the faint of heart. There's an unrelenting sense of melancholy and isolation and cruelty that runs throughout the book, but you can't stop reading it because it's just so beautifully written. Peter is a fully realized character, not a caricature, and the author does a great job of causing you to empathize with him slash her. He's referred to as a him through most of the book, so I chose the him pronoun. And actually, the issue of pronouns is kind of interesting because in Chinese, he, she, is just one word, which is ta. I suggest that as an alternative for people who are in transition. I think it's pretty cool.
You mean the Chinese word?
The Chinese word is ta.
So what's happening on your side of the table, Bill?
Okay. I want to talk about the career of John Schlesinger. Now, John Schlesinger is a motion picture, television, and theater director, and sometimes actor. Mr. Schlesinger is best known for directing Midnight Cowboy, for which he won the Academy Award for Best Director. The movie also won for Best Picture. He also directed movies like Darling, Billy Liar, A Kind of Loving, The Day of the Locust, Marathon Man, to name a few. His movies often deal with outcasts, misfits, or people who don't fit into society. Schlesinger, being homosexual, had an affinity for alienated characters. And one of his best movies is Sunday Bloody Sunday. This movie deals with a bisexual male, Bob Elkin, played by Murray Head, who you might know from his 1980s hit single, One Night in Bangkok. And he is an older brother of Anthony Head of Buffy the Vampire fame.
Oh, little fast.
The movie revolves around his affair with a Jewish doctor, Daniel Hirsch, played by Peter Finch, and a career woman, Alex Grenville, played by Glenda Jackson. John Schlesinger scored a major hit with Midnight Cowboy and followed it up with this mature, free of stereotypes, fresh look at relationships. The movie has been put on the Criterion Collection. It has been released, and it looks spectacular. The name of the movie is Sunday Bloody Sunday. Also, another fun fact, look real close. There's a 12-year-old Daniel Day-Lewis playing a young punk who's scratching up cars with a broken bottle of... We also have a book on John Schlesinger called The Edge of Midnight, The Life of John Schlesinger, in our library collection. I was looking to see what movies we have left, and we still have a pretty good collection. Marathon Man, Midnight Cowboy, Yanks, Far From the Maddening Crowd, and Sunday Bloody Sunday. Next to you, Crystal.
All right. So I got to tell you the story of how I was introduced to the band I'm recommending. Back in 1980, I was about to attend my very first concert. Duran Duran, they were on the Strange Behavior tour. My best friend and I found out about the show through an ad on the radio. This was before the internet, kids. And it sounded like the announcer said Night Ranger was the opener. Did Duran Duran fans really dig Night Ranger? That Sister Christian song, aka Motorin, it had been pretty catchy a few years before, but I wasn't so sure.
I don't discriminate.
Anywho, we got to the show. We sat down with great anticipation when these two guys, one in a red plastic Speedo with a black sleeveless shirt began to play beautiful synth pop songs that made me want to dance myself silly. And I've been a fan of Erasure from that day forward. So Erasure consists of openly gay singer and songwriter Andy Bell and songwriter and keyboardist Vince Clark. They formed in London and entered the music scene in 1985. Now Bell, who was out in the 80s, was quoted at the time saying, "I don't want to go out of my way to talk about it, but I'm not going to pretend I'm not gay. We're consciously writing lyrics that could apply to either sex." Most of their back catalog, including the compilation Pop, the first 20 hits, is available through Hoopla. Here's a clip from my favorite Erasure song featured on Pop. It's called Chorus. In 2006, Erasure came to the Ryman Wall on tour, resulting in an album commemorating that night called On the Road to Nashville. Although I must admit, I prefer the original versions of my favorite songs, it's quite interesting to hear their hits reworked acoustically with a backing band of musicians. On the Road to Nashville is not available through Hoopla, but it is available for checkout on CD.
What are those? I don't know what
is that, like the radio?
What is that?
That's right, right. They're these little discs. They look good in a tree if you have them on the
screen. They are shiny.
I am pre-email. I know what a CD is. I was just kidding.
So I've got some good news for you, Erasure fans, old and new. They have a new album coming out this fall, and Andy and Vince are returning to Nashville on October the 8th to perform at War Memorial Auditorium.
Do you think they'll bring the red shiny Speedo?
I don't know. I have seen pictures, and he still looks pretty good for an old guy. So anyway, I'm looking forward to that. And oh yeah, if you want to listen to Night Ranger, they are also available for streaming on Hoopla.
Heck yes.
All right, Amanda, what you got today?
I don't know that you can have a LGBTQ. Did I get all of them in the right order?
Sometimes people add I or A.
Or a Q, right?
Yeah.
Questioning, right?
Q, yeah, sometimes Q also stands for questioning.
Yeah. Okay, so anyway, I don't know if you can have a podcast and not talk about the TV show Will and Grace, because I think it was really a groundbreaking TV show. It debuted in 1998, which, for, let's, you know, go back in the time machine, in May of 1998, Ellen had just been canceled, and for those of you that weren't alive then, she had come out on her show, I think, that season, and then it was canceled because it was, finger quotes, too gay. So it was really kind of a risk for NBC to put out Will and Grace the very next fall season. Basic premise, Grace Adler is an interior designer living in New York City with her best friend, Will Truman, who is gay and openly so as a lawyer in New York. They're roommates. And then Grace has secretary in her design firm, Megan Mullally, who played Karen, as this rich socialite who really doesn't have anything to do. So she just hangs out in the office, and Grace lets her because she's rich and can bring in all these big clients for her. And then, of course, they have their best friend, Jack, played by Sean Hayes, who is just Jack, and you have to watch it. I can't really describe him. He's crazy, and he kind of got a little flag for being, you know, stereotypically gay, because he is kind of, but he's the comic relief on the show. So Will and Grace set so many records. They were the highest rated sitcom from 2001 to 2005 in their target 18 to 49 age range, which is what TV shows drool over. They won 16 Emmy Awards, including an Emmy Award for all four of the main characters, Eric McCormick, Deborah Messing, Megan Mullally, and Sean Hayes. And Megan Mullally actually won two Emmys for her role as Karen, which Will and Grace is one of three sitcoms in the world to have ever done that. One is All in the Family, the other is The Golden Girls. Thank you for being a friend. And then Will and Grace. So that's a pretty good company to be in. And Will and Grace really opened the door for other TV shows like Queer as Folk on Showtime, or Queer Eye for the Straight Guy, or Boy Meets Boy on Bravo, which, shout out to Queer Eye for the Straight Guy, who featured, I can't think of his last name, Ted from Chopped, who has gone on to the Food Network, and Chopped is one of my favorite shows on the Food Network. So Ted Allen, that's his name. And so he now hosts Chopped on the Food Network. So Will and Grace opened the door for Chopped on Food Network, which makes me happy. So after the show ended in 2006, these characters were so popular that they were trying to figure out something to do. And as the show kind of evolved, it became more about Karen and Jack as opposed to Will and Grace. So they actually tried to do a musical called Karen the Musical that was going to star Megan Mullally. And they were working on it, had pre-production. And then some of the show people didn't like that, and they pulled the rights back, and so they weren't able to produce it. And then they also talked about doing a spinoff called Jack and Karen. But then Will and Grace had been on Must See TV with Friends. And so when Friends left, you know, we had the spinoff Joey that pretty much did nothing and tanked. So after Joey did so bad, Sean Hayes was like, no, I don't want to do a Jack and Karen spinoff. Let's just leave it as it is. And so nothing has been done since then. But if you have not seen Will and Grace, we have the seasons here, at the library. I highly recommend it. It is hilarious. And it's more about the relationship of four people than specifically focusing on LGBTQ rights and all of that. I mean, that's part of the show, but it's not the focus. And so I think that's partially why it works so well, is it's just a well-written, witty show. Okay, Mr. Brian, what you got?
You know, for me, I guess the legacy of Will and Grace is Megan Mullally, right?
Yeah.
As a celebrity, right? Early launched her career. Mm-hmm. So I was going to talk about J.D. Sampson, who's actually headlining on Friday at Pride Festival. And I think, like most people, they learned about J.D. Sampson when she was in the band La Tigra, and she played on one of my favorite rock and roll records ever, is La Tigra's Feminist Sweepstakes. But thanks to fun music licensing horror shows, we don't have that record at the library, but you can get their next album that she's also on, This Island. But then La Tigra went into quote-unquote an extended break. Right?
Hiatus.
Well, they didn't call it that. They just called it an extended break. And so then J.D. Sampson and a few members of La Tigra formed their own band, Men, and a lot of the Men back catalog you can get on Freegal. And then she also has become really famous as a DJ, and it's strange, at the time when La Tigra happened, she basically kind of had this look, she kind of looked like one of the nerd boys from Freaks and Geeks. And since then, she's become this like fashion icon because of you know, her look. So, but she's also in an awesome band. And what does La Tigra sound like? Dance punk, and J.D. Sampson's solo work and her work with Men is pretty much the same vein. If you miss La Tigra, you will like J.D. Sampson and Men. Check it out Friday night at Pride. That's really cool that she's going to be performing at the steps of the Metropolitan Nashville Courthouse. That kind of makes my year.
Well, if you want some of the backstory about why La Tigra broke up or took a hiatus, whatever you called it before, you can check out a good documentary called The Punk Singer, which sort of chronicles the life of Kathleen Hanna, who's the front woman from La Tigra, and deals with some of her health issues, etc. So
should I give it away? Should I give a big spoiler away?
The big Lyme disease?
Yeah, the big one of the narrative arcs in The Punk Singer is that Kathleen Hanna starts to have these health issues, and for a number of years she can't figure out why, and it's actually, you know, interfering with her professional career. And then eventually she finds out that she has Lyme disease, and she was actually misdiagnosed with not having Lyme disease in the past, and that's why it took so long to figure out what it actually was. That's a little bit of a spoiler, but the rest of the movie is this awesome appreciation of Kathleen Hanna's career, including La Tigra. And I was trying to figure out, I cannot remember if J.D. Sampson is a talking head
in
The Punk Singer. Do you remember?
Okay. Maybe a couple of scenes.
Okay. Before that, or before the after, before we go, I just felt like I wanted to fit in somewhere. I wanted to give a shout out to Dee Reese, who's a filmmaker who's from Nashville. And her film Pariah, which I've talked about before on the podcast, was this interesting story about this teenage girl who was coming out. But I think another project that Dee Reese is involved in that I'm excited about, and I think they've actually started filming this, is she's shooting a biopic of Bessie Smith with Queen Latifah as Bessie Smith.
Oh, whoa.
Usually, yeah, I don't get excited about biopics, but I'm excited about that one. And because there's the PKD rule now. You guys know the PKD rule?
I'm not aware of
this. I have to talk about Philip K. Dick in every podcast.
I didn't know it had a name now.
So,
I'm sorry, who's that?
He was a science fiction author. So, for a number of years, though I think it's caught in development hell, Reese has been associated with the Martian Time Slip movie based on one of Philip K. Dick's novels. Though I think that's probably on the back burner. This is Tickle My Fancy, where we tell you what is tickling our fancy this week. And it's stuff that, you know, is happening around the world in pop culture. Maybe not pop culture. Maybe at the library. Maybe not at the library. But it's things that'll put new wrinkles on your brain. Summer Challenge. You can put on Summer Challenge, I had my fancy tickled by the Popmatic podcast. I have to cut that.
Hashtag NPL Summer.
I'll leave that one in. So, Bill, what's tickling your fancy this week?
I want to give a tickle my fancy shout out to the television show Longmire. It started its third season on the A&E Network, Mondays at 9 o'clock. It's about Sheriff Walt Longmire of Wyoming and his attempt to maintain law and order in his county. We do have the first two seasons of the show on DVD, so if you want to catch up. We also have the books by Craig Johnson, the Walt Longmire Mysteries, in our collection. If you're not into the whole television thing, you can just read the books. So that's my shout out.
Books? What books?
Yeah.
Books are older than the internet and CDs.
Books.
They're only half the story and the other half is TV.
Listen, if it doesn't have hyperlinks in it, it's not real.
Yeah. Wow, that's fancy.
What's tickling your fancy, Amanda?
Well, I am going to be tickled by something that I haven't listened to completely yet. Miranda Lambert's fifth studio album just came out on June 3rd, so I have not had a chance to download this yet. However, I have heard the first single called Automatic, and it didn't really rock my world, but she always is a great songwriter, so she's got 16 tracks on the album, so I want to take a listen and see what else she's got out there. 8 of which she either wrote or co-wrote, and she also has some friends joining her. Little Big Town shows up on a track, The Time Jumpers, and then her new single is going to probably be Something Bad that she wrote and sang with Carrie Underwood. So I'm looking forward to that. You can download this on Freegal. It's all over their main page right now, Platinum by Miranda Lambert.
All right. Well, June is Adopt a Shelter Cat Month. And the Nashville Humane Association's goal is to adopt 100 kittens in the 30 days in June. So help them reach this goal. They have reduced rates. You can get kittens for $75, cats that are up to 2 years old, $25, but no fee for over 3-year-old cats. So find it in your heart to adopt a senior cat or a middle-aged cat. And go to nashvillehumane.org to look at the kitty cam, and we'll link to their website so you can find out all about it. What about you, Brian?
Nothing rocks this podcast when I start talking about copyright and software licenses. I know that
I'm intrigued already.
That sets people on fire. So I want to give a shout out to Rick Sanders' Twitter feed. Now, Rick Sanders is a local intellectual property lawyer, and he is his deal is intellectual property, software licenses, and copyright. But if you wanted to keep track of really interesting trademark, copyright, intellectual property, music business news, you know, just follow his Twitter feed. He's super smart. He's snarky. Great. Now, he is one of the founders of, I think it's Aaron and Sanders law firm. I don't know anything about that. Maybe he's a terrible lawyer. Maybe he's a great lawyer. Maybe, you know, if you pay him enough money, he'll troll someone with junky patent and trademark suits. I don't know. But his Twitter feed and his spiel, I'm totally cool with. He says that he's a national expert on internet anonymity and privacy. So I'd like to maybe see some of his writing about that. So check out that Twitter feed, Rick Sanders Law. It's good stuff. Been making my Twitter feed more exciting than usual lately.
He wasn't on the panel for your terms and conditions may apply.
You know, I didn't meet him until the week after. You know, he is in private practice, so I have a feeling that he might have asked for an hourly rate to be on my panel. You can go to
www.library.nashville.com.
You can do it.
O-R-org.
And our theme music is by
Adam Dean.
And so if you listen on iTunes, give us a high rating.
Do they do that with stars? Is it 5 stars? Or is it like a?
I think it's.
You write an essay about.
Give us 5. Yeah, whatever they are. 5 widgets, 5 apples, 5 days in a Chinese factory.